Company 1025, 1063 The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. We are presented by the Southern Bank of Tennessee. And let me say this. In an hour, we're going to have Jared versus Joe. And I've got a trick up my sleeve for JVJ. Joe doesn't know about it. Caroline doesn't know about it. Jake doesn't even know about it. But I'm very, very excited for it. Now, I want to get to this. So, when it comes to the future of college football, this is the time of year where we start to see the major changes. Why? Because after baseball season is over, there is nothing until football season starts. And so this is the time of year where the commissioners are meeting with each other, they're meeting with their presidents and universities, and they're making big decisions so that when it's time to play sports, everybody's focus, for the most part, is on playing sports. And what's really up for grabs, what's really important, is the future of the college football playoff. And we all know that it's going to expand to 16 teams. And there are two separate models that are out there that are available. And there is the 5-11 model, which means five automatic qualifiers, one from the SEC, conference champion, one from the Big Ten, conference champion, one from the Big 12, conference champion, ACC, conference champion, group of five, conference champion, and 11 at-large bids, similar to what we have now, which again is the automatic qualifiers plus all the at-larges. The committee picks them. And the SEC is fine with that model. 5-11. The ACC is fine with that model, 5-11. The Big 12 is fine with that model, 5-11. And Notre Dame is also fine with that model, 5-11. The Big 10 is not. The Big 10 wants what's called the 4-4-2-2 model. Four SEC teams, four Big 10 teams, two ACC teams, two Big 12 teams. And the Big Ten has come up with all kinds of bullcrap reasons as to why they are trying to convince people that this is a good idea. Caroline Fenton, and you know how much respect I have for Caroline. Caroline Fenton is convinced the 4-4-2-2 model is good because she wants things decided on the field. Let's decide the fourth best Big Ten team on the field and put them into the playoff, even though they may actually not be as good as the third best ACC team. But that's what she believes. But I don't even think the Big Ten believes that. In fact, I've been told, and I've said here, Tony Petitti, the commissioner of the Big Ten, he's told his conference commissioners, his conference chancellors and presidents that he's going to get four guaranteed spots. And everybody directly associated with the Big Ten or indirectly associated with the Big Ten, seems to constantly be parroting the talking points. It's turned into propaganda, where once again, Rick Neuheisel's like, it's going to happen. Yeah, I'm sure you'd like that, CBS. So Tony Petitti, who again has been pushing the 4-4-2-2 model behind the scenes, and who got pushback from Greg Sankey when it came to the SEC at their spring meetings in Destin, and Greg Sankey said, you know, all of the numbers say we shouldn't do a 4-4-2-2 model. Greg Sankey said, I've been told we need to compromise. Well, maybe compromise needs to come from somewhere other than the Southeastern Conference, which was a giant torpedo fired at the Big Ten. Tony Petitti finally went on the record. He did a podcast and a safe space with Joel Klatt, who calls the number one game on Fox every week, which happens to be Ohio State. And I am going to use these three cuts to prove to you that the reason that the Big Ten wants the 4-4-2-2 model is not because of fairness in college football, not because that's the best way to determine a champion, but because of what I really believe, which is the Big Ten fleeced CBS and NBC into paying $350 million a year, gave away things they did not have in the TV packages, and have now given them horrible TV slates. Nevada at Penn State. They might get one good game a year on CBS and NBC. And that's not worth $350 million a year. How do you fix it? Simple. Easy. You give them play-in games. They can't give CBS a playoff game. They can't give NBC a playoff game. But if the top four teams in the Big Ten automatically qualify for the playoff, well, then 1 and 2 are going to go. That conference championship game goes to Fox. 3 plays 6 on CBS. 4 plays 5 on NBC. And it might be worth the $350 million they're getting from their two TV partners. So this was Tony Petitti on the number one reason why he believes that the 4-4-2-2 model is a good idea. This is from the Joel Klatt podcast.
I think we've been pretty open, and we just communicated this in a recent meeting we had, you know, in the CFP room. It's like, look, we're open to ideas. If there's better ways to do it or there's tweaking around the AQ system, I just think ultimately it's going to be very hard to sort of figure out how you expand the field, because the alternative, Joel, to this system is expanding the field and giving the committee more to do. Because if you go to 16 and you have 11 at-large, you've just added even more decision-making. And the answer is, well, at that point, it gets to be easy because you'll cover everybody. No, because the more spots you put into the system, the more difficult decisions you're facing, because teams start to look more alike.
They
all have a tough road loss. Some of them may have stumbled at home in a tough conference game. The sequencing of when you play, you know, you might be at a really difficult place and then have to go on back home and play somebody else or be on the road for 2 weeks. Like, all of that journey is really relevant. And so I think you make it harder. So we're looking to kind of do exactly what you said, is reduce the role of the committee, let them focus on seeding, let them focus on the last three at-larges.
Okay. So they're saying the reason we think we need this 4-4-2-2 model is because when we go to 16 teams, you're going to be asking too much of the committee. If we have 11 at-large bids, we're going to ask the committee to rank these teams. That's too much work. You do know the committee already ranks 25 teams, right? UNLV, who was 10-3 last year, not even a discussion for the playoffs, not even a sniff of the college football playoff. UNLV finished 24th. In the final college football playoff rankings. Under the system we had last year, again, they ranked them the way they thought. They thought, you know, South Carolina's the 15th best team. Under that system, Oregon, Georgia, Boise State, Clemson, would have all made, as would have Arizona, all would have made the playoff. That's 5. Then, on top of it, all the teams that made the playoff last year would have made it as well. Alabama would have made it. They were the 11th ranked team. Miami would have made it. They were the 13th ranked team. Ole Miss would have made it. They were the 14th ranked team. And South Carolina would have made it. They were the 15th ranked team. You're not asking for the committee to do any more work. But he's saying, oh, well, we're asking too much of the committee. We're asking too much of the committee. Uh-huh. So remember that play-in weekend I told you about? Big Ten championship game kicks off at noon on Fox. Winner and loser go to the Big Ten or go to the college football playoff game. Then 3 plays 6 on CBS. Then 4 plays 5 on NBC. And the next year they'll flip it around. 4 will play 5 on CBS. And then 3 will play 6 on NBC. Yeah. That extra TV. Listen to Tony Petitti talk about his dream of a play-in weekend.
Look, I think the play-in weekend, like, I'm only going to speak for the Big Ten, but you send some teams out there do-or-die games knowing that they have to win to make sure they're safe. Like, there could be some really great matchups around our championship game. That's a great weekend for college football. Like, the best way to market the sport is to play more good games.
That's exactly
you can talk about
right.
All the advertising campaigns you want. You can talk about all the slogans and all the promotion and everybody talking. But at the end of the day, what fans really care about is, like, put more good games in front of them, and they'll definitely watch.
By the way, did you hear that shot? You can have all the advertising campaigns and the slogans you want. You know, like, it just means more. You can have all those slogans, but what people want is they want good football games, and we want play-in games. Yeah, because we don't want CBS and NBC to look at these TV packages we're giving them and say, what the hell are we paying $350 million a year for? And finally, the one that really I felt like was kind of a smoking gun, as Joel Klatt was doing his whole dear leader thing, but as this was going on the Joel Klatt podcast, this 4-4-2-2 model that Caroline Fenton thinks we absolutely have to have in college football, I still don't understand why we have to have it, but she thinks we have to have it, And Tony Petitti thinks we have to have it. And I know why Tony Petitti thinks that, because once again, he wants those two play-in games. But he is so dedicated to his playoff model that, oh, yeah, if somebody comes to me with something that they like better, guess what? I'll change it. Here's what he said.
Was there any argument or reason or data point given in the recent meetings that convinced you at all that 5-11 might be feasible?
I said that the most recent meeting we had, like, you know, and I've talked about this before, like, I'm open to any ideas. We said, look, we'll start off with the idea that, you know, we've been a proponent for a certain system for about a year now. And obviously we want to hear other ideas if they are out there, and we'll study everything that's sent our way. We will study quickly. If we need independent help to evaluate it, we'll go get it. I just haven't seen anything yet, and then communicating back. And it's not me. Like, it's not my voice. It's the voice of the Big Ten. It's 18 athletic directors and coaches who have to be convinced that this is fair.
Okay. So right there, he just told you everything, which is, you know, this is the model we've thought for a year. If somebody has something better, call me. But the 5-11 model that everybody else wants that makes the most sense, which is fine, you don't want to leave it up to the committee, play your way in. You can win your conference. Everybody else at large. I mean, that to me, that's simple. He's like, yeah, I mean, that just doesn't make any sense. I mean, come on now. That does not make any sense. But if you have a different model, we'll do all the research to study it, which means I'm really not that committed to my own model that I'm telling you we have to do. I'm just committed to the four teams so I can get my play-in games, so I can keep CBS and I can keep NBC. That's why. Like, that's why. And when you look at the slate of games that the Big Ten is giving those crappy games to those great TV contracts, you'll realize, yeah, they got to give them a little something more. They got to give them a little something more. I mean, it's a disaster with this schedule that CBS and NBC have compared to Fox. And then the other part of it was, when NBC agreed to do that Saturday night primetime stuff, they thought they were getting Ohio State, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State. But Ohio State, Michigan, and Penn State in October and November won't play night games. So we've got the primetime game, but Ohio State won't play a home night game. So what the hell do we do? You know, we figured when we got the second or third best game every week, at least we know we're not getting Ohio State, Michigan, but we're going to get Penn State versus Oregon. Nope. Can't have it. Penn State won't play at night. So this is how you make everybody feel better. You give them all a playoff game. And the only way to do that is to have four automatic qualifiers. And so you can't buy their bull crap because they don't even buy it. And when they say, oh, yeah, we're open to changing if you've got a better model, but not 5-11, that should tell you all you need to know. 615-737-1025, which is our phone number, 615-737-1025. Here on the program, we'll get to your reaction on this. Plus, the one thing that made me sick to my stomach on all of this college football playoff stuff, we'll get to that next. Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106 for the game.
I also want to get to that 5-11 model that the Big 12 and the SEC kind of inexplicably threw out there, to be honest. I'm in this not quite as much as you. You're a commissioner, obviously, but this is my profession. When that was thrown out, that was left field when 5-11 was thrown out.
Joel Klatt on his podcast tells the commissioner of the Big Ten, I don't understand when people were throwing out this idea of 5-11. I mean, what are we doing? That's crazy. Where did that come from? That came out of left field, says the propaganda arm of the Big Ten. Really? Guess what we have now? 5+7. We have a 5-7 model. 5 conference champions, 7 at-larges. Everybody, when you go to 16, which the SEC is going to demand that everybody go to 16, they want the same with 5+11. Except the Big Ten, that's 4-4-2-2. And again, they don't even believe it. They've said, oh, no, we're willing. We're willing to change. By the way, just to give you an example of how redonkulous these TV contracts are. Keep in mind that for the game of the week that CBS used to have for the SEC, ESPN is paying $300 million to be able to take the SEC game of the week. CBS is paying $350 million to get the second or third best Big Ten game every week, and no playoff game, no play-in game, no... Eventually, they're going to say, these games aren't very good. Why are we paying for them? For example, week one, Fox, Texas and Ohio State. Says pretty good game. CBS, Nevada at Penn State. Whoa. NBC, New Mexico at Michigan. Hey, Jake, what do you think about those? Texas and Ohio State, Nevada at Penn State, New Mexico at Michigan.
Sounds like one really good game.
I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy. These terrible games. The week two, Oklahoma State at Oregon on CBS. Boston College at Michigan State on NBC. Jake, you coming over for the Boston College-Michigan State game?
I don't think that one's going to be on my viewing docket for that weekend.
Week three, USC at Purdue on CBS. NBC's game is Ohio at Ohio State on Peacock. So in order for NBC to get Ohio State or Michigan, it has to be New Mexico versus Michigan or Ohio at Ohio State. They're not going to get any good Ohio State games. Like, that's it. They thought they were paying for good games. They're not. Week four, Michigan at Nebraska on CBS, and they have on the schedule Purdue at Notre Dame, but that's a Notre Dame game, and NBC has Notre Dame. So that's not really a Big Ten game. And that's still Purdue at Notre Dame. Now, I will give them credit. NBC that night has Oregon at Penn State. That's a good game. So there's one good game to NBC and CBS in the mix so far. And then everything else is to be determined down the road, with the exception of the major game. So here are the games in November that have been handed out. Northwestern at USC on a Friday night on Fox. So it's a Friday night. Make of it what you will. So Saturday games that have been handed out that have already been given away. Ohio State, Michigan on Fox. Indiana, Purdue on NBC. Iowa at Nebraska on NBC. Fox gets the Big Ten championship game. You see what I'm saying? There are no good games. There is nothing to justify $350 million. With the exception of that one Oregon at Penn State game, there is nothing to justify $700 million combined dollars for CBS and NBC, and CBS and NBC know it. So what the Big Ten has to do is they're going to lose all of that revenue, and it's going to go down significantly. The way that, for instance, Major League Baseball has lost their $500 million for Sunday Night Baseball, they're going to lose that if they can't give CBS and NBC something good. Baseball tried to give ESPN that wild card series, still doesn't have enough juice. But that's what they're going to try to do. That's why they want the 4-4-2-2 model. They can't give those play-in games to CBS or NBC without getting the four guaranteed teams. So this stupid 4-4-2-2 model that Caroline believes in, again, is so stupid. And the only reason that the Big Ten is the only one that wants this is because the Big Ten is trying to salvage $700 million. The ACC doesn't have that problem. So they look at this and they say, that's stupid. Notre Dame doesn't have this problem. They look at it and they say, that's stupid. The SEC doesn't have that problem. Their TV partner is happy. But the Big Ten does. And I'm sorry, but the SEC and Notre Dame, who really hold all the leverage here with all due respect to the ACC and the Big 12, the SEC and Notre Dame do not need to be doing the Big Ten a favor. Mike from PA says, those terrible games will still probably pull better numbers than most other conferences. The Big Ten and SEC leadership need to have a one-on-one meeting and decide what will happen with the playoffs. The other conferences don't matter. Get on board and they will take teams they want and leave the NCAA. The Big Ten and the SEC could have their own champion play each other and more people will watch that. Here's the problem. You're right. We can do this without the ACC. And we can do this without the Big 12. but you can't do it without Notre Dame. You cannot do college football without Notre Dame. That's like doing the NFL without the Cowboys. You can't do it. So Notre Dame gets a say too, so they've still got to be in the mix. And on top of it, why would the SEC agree to this? Why would the SEC, when you say the SEC and the Big Ten need to get together, why would the SEC go into business with the Big Ten? The Big Ten today would give whatever it takes to have an AFC-NFC relationship with the SEC. But the SEC has 9 power teams, at least. Florida, Georgia, Tennessee, and we're talking about history and resources and everything else. Florida, Georgia, Tennessee, Alabama, Auburn, Texas, Oklahoma, LSU, Texas A&M, and if you want to put Ole Miss in there, you can. I wouldn't, but you could. 9 power teams. How many teams are at the level of a program that Florida is in the Big Ten? Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State maybe, USC. Oregon, if you want to give them Oregon. I'll give them Oregon. That's 9-5. Why would the SEC go into business with the Big Ten like that? One texter says the best Big Ten games almost always involve an SEC team. That's not true. The best Big Ten games are Michigan and Ohio State. It's the number one game in college football every year. Like it or not, it's the number one game. And then the second best games in the Big Ten usually involve Ohio State and Notre Dame or something like that. Ohio State is an unbelievable TV draw. Ohio State, like the SEC has about 4 schools that pull, you know, what I call Ohio State numbers. Alabama, Texas, Georgia, and then whoever that really, really good team is that one year, they can draw Ohio State-ish numbers, but Ohio State is the number one draw in college football. One texter says they should have no guaranteed slots. It should just be the top 16 after championship weekend. That's what Greg Sankey said. That's what Greg Sankey said that he wants. But I don't think that's what Greg Sankey's going to get. I think, again, he already agreed to the automatic qualifiers, and that's fine, and I think it should stay that way. Fitz will join us next. 615-737-1025. Stillman and Company, 1025-106 for the game. I laugh out loud when it comes to media people that are just in the bag for teams or leagues or whatever. And it drives me a little batty when you don't know who's in the bag for whom. But when Joel Klatt is having a sit down with the Big Ten Conference Commissioner, this is the guy who does the game on Fox every week, which is always a Big Ten game, and it's usually Ohio State, and he's sitting there with the Big Ten commissioner who is begging anybody who will listen that they need to go to a 4-4-2-2 model for a 16-team college football playoff, and he says, when people started talking about 5-11, that came out of left field. I'm like, really? Well, A, it's what we do now, but B, isn't it also what makes the most sense? Why would we just arbitrarily go to a system where the SEC is giving up potential spots so the Big 12 can have 2 teams in there? Because if we had a 4-4-2-2 model last year, South Carolina, who was the 16th team in, is out, and BYU, the second team in the Big 12, is in. Why would the SEC do that? Why would anybody else do that? And yet, Joel Klatt, with a straight face, looks at everybody and says, I don't understand that. Jason Fitz joins us now on the program. Fitz, your coworker, Caroline Fenton, is convinced we need a 4-4-2-2 model in college football. She's the only person I know who thinks that. And yet, at the same time, the Big Ten is A, convincing everybody this is going to happen, and B, trying to sell it as much as they possibly can. The SEC so far has not taken the cheese. The ACC, the Big 12, and Notre Dame are all out on it. Fitz, what's your read on the situation and the future of the playoff in college football?
Yeah, no, look, I mean, by the way, if I was the commissioner and czar of all things college football, I would simply give us the 12 best teams. I don't care where they come from. That's never going to happen. So what you have now is a Big 10 that is desperately scared of being left behind. And they're just desperately scared of being usurped by the SEC to a level where they just become closer to the ACC than they are to the SEC right now. So they're doing anything they possibly can to protect the Wisconsins of the world. And I just don't know how much we should actually care about the Wisconsins of the world. Like, I think one of the jarring things that's about to happen from college football playoff expansion is that a group of fans are going to have to really figure out that they are not part of the haves. They're actually part of the new model of have-nots. And those are going to be programs that still feel like they matter on Saturdays, but do they? Like, does Iowa really deserve to be in these conversations? Are any of us really feel like those programs are better? I don't. You know, when I say that, I get called a SEC elitist, which you know I'm not. I think the problem here is that nobody really wants to play in the sandbox together. They all want to protect their own interests, and the entirety of college football understands that if the SEC or the Big Ten decide that they want to just go off on their own and do their own thing, everybody else is just going to be left holding nothing. So it's about how you try and keep everybody together, and I don't know the right answer to that.
Okay, I know why the Big Ten, or I think I know why. I don't want to get sued. I think I know why the Big Ten wants four automatic qualifiers. They are making $350 million a year from NBC and CBS in order to give them the second or third best game every week. We just went through the TV schedule. Outside of one game where NBC has Penn State and Oregon, outside of that, it's a lot of New Mexico at Michigan, Ohio at Ohio State. The first weekend, you get that great, great Texas-Ohio State game on Fox, and then you get Nevada and Penn State on CBS. I think they're going to, they want four automatic qualifiers so they can have three play six, four play five, and they can give a game to NBC and give a game to CBS to justify the $350 million that each network is paying for Big Ten football. We've seen ESPN pull out of Major League Baseball with Sunday Night Baseball because they thought they were paying too much and weren't getting enough in return. Am I crazy, Fitz, for saying this is why the Big Ten is the only one who wants this Furcata 442 model?
I don't think that's crazy. I mean, everything's about trying to figure out how to keep your broadcast partners happy so that you get more from them next time, right? Like, I think that's pretty fair to say through the process of it. And look, this comes back to when you look at the Big Ten as a whole, one of the problems that the Big Ten has, and this is, you know, an argument I made, obviously, growing up in Vegas, I'm the only person in the world that ever cared about UNLV football. I get that. But UNLV football is not particularly relevant. But I would argue that when Odom left UNLV football this year to go to Purdue, he actually took a step back because he has a better shot at making the college football playoff every single year at UNLV than he does at Purdue, which is weird. Like, we just have to accept that what the Big Ten has right now, and this is what they're trying to market to their broadcast partners. How many of the schools in the Big Ten do we believe are gravitational pulls for eyeballs across the entire country any given year? Because that's what you can honestly say can be presented out of a lot of different brands in the SEC. And I would argue in the Big Ten, part of what makes it difficult is that most people sitting in Montana aren't begging to watch a Maryland football game, even if they have been better at times. Like, most people aren't begging to watch Purdue or Rutgers or, you know, frankly, at this point, Washington, UCLA. Like, it's just, it's tough. It's a tough sell. And even, like, look at Michigan State. I think, honestly, the argument for me is that the Big Ten would have a much easier ride right now if a school like Michigan State was playing really lights out, if Wisconsin was lights out, because then you could at least sell to your broadcast partners, hey, it doesn't matter. Like, the contest, the competition in the Big Ten is so good that you're going to get eyeballs. Do you believe that? Do I believe that? I don't believe that. I know, I mean, the numbers have shown it year in and year out. A South Carolina Ole Miss game late in the season is going to get eyeballs. Like, people are going to watch that. A Wisconsin-Michigan State game, it just doesn't have the same draw. And that's, I wish it did. Like, I'm literally, as you called, I was playing college football, EA Sports, the video game. I was playing as Michigan State. I think it's kind of fun. It's a fun environment. Nobody else thinks that. So part of it is just a branding problem and a quality problem that these teams are going to have to turn around and figure out how to compete against. And then it's going to be money lost for your broadcast partners, and that long-term is going to be absolute suicide for the conference as a whole.
Jason Fitz is with us on the program. So if the Big Ten is hell-bent on 4-4-2-2, but everybody else says no, who wins in the end?
The SEC. If the Big Ten can convince the SEC to play with them, then they can do whatever the hell they want to. Like, that's the hardest part about all of this is that if the Big Ten can convince Greg Sankey to play nice, they can do whatever they want. I just don't know if I'm Greg Sankey. Like, honestly, today, I feel like anytime you walk into a negotiation, you walk in and say, okay, we should both be a little uncomfortable with the end, and then we know we probably got a fair deal for everybody. If I'm Greg Sankey, why do I need anybody? You know, honestly, why do I actually have to do anything nice for anybody else? Because ultimately, the SEC could go off and form their own league by themselves, have their own champion, and still get a ton of money and still get a ton of eyeballs. I know that. And, you know, there are a handful of Big Ten teams that are in that same boat, the Ohio States, the Michigans, that people are going to care about at a dramatic level. That's real. But if I'm Greg Sankey, rather than play nice with the Big Ten, I'd rather just find a way to get those Big Ten schools and bring them into my mega conference. So I don't know what the Big Ten's going to have to do, but they need the SEC as much as the Big 12 does, weirdly, as weird as that sounds.
Jason Fitz is with us here on the program. So what do you think is going to end up happening? I think we're going to expand to 16 teams because that's what the SEC wants. And I think it's going to end up being 5-11 because that's what, to your point, we can do college football, I believe, without the ACC or the Big 12 and the teams in it. We can't do it without Notre Dame. Notre Dame's going to want as many at-large spots as possible, given their unique status. I think if the SEC and Notre Dame say 5-11, ultimately the Big Ten's going to have to suck it up. What do you think's going to happen?
100%. 100%. Because they don't have the ability to say, fine, we'll go just do our own thing. They just have that. So, yes, I think 5-11 is where this ends up. I think that pleases Sankey enough, you know, and you're right. I also think that expansion is inevitable. And then as we continue to look at it, I think what we're going to have to do is year in and year out, we're going to have to make sure that the SEC schools are happy, because every time there's a new negotiation, there's a chance that, you know, we're going to end up with an NFL. We're going to end up with 40 teams that are off on their own doing their own thing. So college football, live in fear of that. 5-11 makes the most sense to me. It's the easiest thing to execute for Greg Sankey, and it keeps Notre Dame happy. And as long as you have the SEC and Notre Dame, you have everything you need.
Jason Fitz is with us here on the program. So what do you think the end result is going to be of all of this?
By the way, for all of this doomsday, because the tone of our conversation makes it sound like, oh, my God, things are terrible. No, I think the end result of college football, like, A, I'm not one that's sitting here screaming college football is dying. I'm not one that sits here and says, oh, my God, the game's the worst it's ever been. I think ultimately what you're going to have is a very conscious decision. Schools that want to compete for national championships, it's as simple as can you raise the money and can you keep the money coming in? And schools that don't want to compete for national championships are going to have to find another way to essentially make football important or eliminate football altogether. I think in 10 years, a bunch of football programs across the country don't exist anymore. And that's a super bummer. You know, it's a bummer for UConn football fans that UConn football is not going to exist. And I don't believe it will in a decade. But the fact is, like, at the end of the day, do we really care as long as we end up with the main schools that we all seem to fall in love with? Like, I think we end up with a college football that looks a lot like the NFL in a decade, and it's as powerful and strong as ever. It's still the second most popular sport in the entire country without any question. It just is going to be 40 schools instead of 100 schools, and we're going to have to stop pretending that we really care about New Mexico State for anything other than gambling.
Jason Fitz, as always, on our program. Fitz, great stuff. We'll talk soon.
Appreciate you, brother. Have a great week.
Yep, Jason Fitz, Yahoo Sports, Fox Sports Radio, joining us on the program. 615-737-1025. You know, just looking at the hockey landscape, holy crap. I actually think the Predators have done, for the most part, the right thing. And some of this stuff makes me want to vomit. I'll explain. We'll get to it next. Stillman & Company, 1025 The Game.
How many goals do you think Tanner Janot had last year?
I have no idea.
Just ballpark it.
Not a Tanner Janot guy.
How many goals do you think a guy who gets a five-year deal?
Four. He had four goals.
No, he had seven.
See? Yeah, but probably more assists.
Overachieving. Upside.
Yeah. Oh, how many assists do you think you had last year?
Probably more than seven, right?
No, he had six.
Oh.
13 points. You're giving a five-year deal to a guy with 13 points who's 28 years old. What are you doing? What is the direction? Don Sweeney last week goes, we're not going to gift our young players any opportunities. No, we're going to box them out with five-year deals now instead. That's what you do. The boner that they have for the power forward. Tanner Janot's last two seasons, 14 goals.
Consistent.
14 goals in 120 games.
Seven.
You're getting a goal every 10 games. You got to give 5 years for that?
Getting. You know what you're getting.
At least he's been good in the playoffs. Oh, wait. He has 0 goals in 16 career playoff games.
Again, we're not going to be there. Yeah. So what's
the
point?
I mean, they're not going to make the playoffs. They don't have to worry about those
numbers.
Why
are you worried about that?
Yeah.
Holy crap. Why would you do that? You traded Trent Frederick, and everyone was going, that's a great deal. You don't want to pay that guy. You don't want to give that guy a lot of term. So they go in to give that term to a worse player, essentially.
There you go. That was Ty Anderson of 98.5 The Sports Hub in Boston reacting to the 5-year deal that the Boston Bruins gave Tanner Janot, who, again, scores 7 goals a season. Boy, I have to give David Poile credit because he did make that trade. Now, that being said, I have to give the Predators just a little bit of credit here. Again, I don't want to give them too much credit because they've been saying and doing a lot of stupid stuff, but I do want to give them a little bit of credit because they, for the most part, have stayed out of free agency. They signed Nick Perbix to the 1 year, or excuse me, to the 2 year, $275 million contract to be a second pair right shot defenseman. They traded for Nick Hague and signed him to a contract that was a little too big for me, but Barry Trotz says, well, we really like him, and that's kind of the move that we made in free agency was Nick Hague. For the most part, they've stayed out of free agency. Now, I am not downing free agency. I'm not saying, oh, no, veteran players in free agency are no good because it didn't work last year with Stamkos, Marchessault, and Brady Shea. But this free agent class, according to The Athletic, Nikolaj Ehlers, who I've always liked, but really liked more like 8 years ago, Nikolaj Ehlers is the top player on the board. Nikolaj Ehlers is a good second-line winger. That's what he is. Other than that, Mikael Granlin, 3 years, $7 million, was the fourth best player on the board. Stinks. Pius Suter from Vancouver, who played in the series. Again, he's like a Colton Sissons type. He's the sixth best player on the board. Brent Burns is about 200 years old. He's the eighth best player on the free agent board entering this year's free agency. Gus Nyquist is the 17th best player on the board. You see what I'm saying? Anthony Beauvillier was the 21st best player on the board. And he sucked. I mean, guys who suck. So instead of giving somebody like Tanner Janot a 5-year contract because, well, we just have to go sign somebody, the Predators, I think, have done a pretty good job of minimizing risk in free agency. 5-year contract for Tanner Janot. I'd love to know if there's a no movement clause in that. A bottom six forward who doesn't score, doesn't play in the playoffs, but hey, he'll fight. Yes, that's who you need. I mean, again, I can't tell you about some of these guys. Mason Appleton, I can't tell you about him. But I can tell you about Anthony Beauvillier. And what happens with some of these teams when it comes to free agency is there are teams like Dallas that'll sign guys, you know, 1 year, 2 years, little money. You know, the guy got dumped in this place, but he fits in our lineup by batting a little bit lower. Think of Duchesne. You know, that's what we'll do with them. But for the most part, what a lot of these teams do is they've just got money burning a hole in their pocket, and they're like, well, we got to sign somebody. So they take someone that they don't know who's not any good, and they give them a bunch of money, and they give them a bunch of years. And then in the middle of the season, they're like, oh, yeah, this guy actually kind of sucks. Well, when you're paying Nick Perbix $2.75 million, even if he sucks, it's like, well, you know, you're paying him $2.75. And you're paying him for 2 years. You're not paying him for 5 years. And some of these contracts and some of these players just freaking suck. And they're just some stupid contracts. And when I saw Janot got 5 years, I mean, Ryan Lindgren got 4 years. 4 years. The guy had 4 goals last year. Granted, he's a defenseman, but he had 4 goals. $7 million a year from Mikhail Granlund. Holy crap. Free agency. Free agency stinks this year. Some years there are some good players out there. Most of the good players kind of went out the door. I'm just reading the contract grades The Athletic has. Granlund, C-. Jeannot, D-. Tanner Jeannot's deal with the Bruins and the lessons not learned. D-. See if there's any other good ones here with the contract grades that I just laugh at. So I give the Predators credit. I think the Predators have done very well in free agency to not get involved in just giving money to players who suck because, oh, he's a center and got to have a center. Although they did kind of do that with Eric Halla. But for the most part, they have avoided doing this stupid stuff. Jared versus Joe is next. 615-737-1025 here on our program. And I'm just going to tell you, I have a trick up my sleeve. This is not going to be your usual Jared versus Joe. That is next. Stoneman & Company, 1025-106 Radio Game.